Okay, so the title that I've been given today from the Maidenhead team is Our Promised Land and Gaining Our Inheritance. And kind of my subtext to this, what my talk is going to be about this morning is how do I walk in my inheritance as a child of God in real life? So how do we work it out in the day-to-day of real life? Because, and so basically, everything I'm going to say to you this morning is from my own heart about how I work it out in my life. Because I can only really speak to you of what I've gone for in my own life. I don't want to just say what I think it should be. I'm just telling you how I work this out in my own life. I won't have time to go through all the Bible verses around my different points, but they are there. And I've given the notes to Kerry, who's going to be passing on to small group leaders. So if you want to look at some of what I'm saying in greater detail, please do look at the notes. Okay, so we've got three points, key points that we're going to be looking at, or three different parts. So the first one is the promised land is ours, but we have to possess it. So just for those who haven't heard the story of the Israelites in the promised land, just want to very, very quickly explain it. You've got Abraham in Genesis. God said to him, I want you to leave your family, the place you go, a place where you know, leave your father's house. And I want you to go to a land that you do not know and take all your family with you and all your livestock and everything. And God promised that he'd bless him and he'd make him into a great nation that would be a blessing to the earth. So that's how we start off with the Israelites. They have this promise. Abraham goes to this land that he does not know. And that continues a whole journey that goes on through generations until we get to Joshua, who is finally, after lots of ups and downs, going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. But they don't just magically have this promised land and it's all theirs. They have to possess it. They have to take authority over the land, drive out their enemies and do all of that stuff. And you can read that in the book of Joshua. And so that is a picture for us today for our Christian life. Jesus, through his work on the cross, has accomplished amazing things for every single one of us. No one is left out. There aren't any third-rate Christians. It's available for all of us through his work on the cross. But we have to possess it. We have to take hold of it. It doesn't just happen automatically. I mean, there are some things that seem to just happen automatically, being real. Do you know what I mean? We think, oh, how did that happen? That just kind of fell on my plate. But at the whole, it is a step-by-step working it out, taking hold of our inheritance. And so I just want to talk a bit about how we might do that. So when I'm talking about our inheritance, what am I talking about? Here's some things I just want to say, and then I just want to summarize. It's about having love, having freedom, forgiveness, healing, deliverance, provision. There's so many things that we could say. And this is my personal summary of it. It's the power to be who you were created to be and enjoy loving, meaningful relationships with a sense of purpose and fulfillment in life. That's my summary of what it means to have our full inheritance in Jesus. It's about you being who you were created to be. Because when you are who you were created to be, you feel alive. Yeah? It's about having real meaningful relationships because we're all created for a relationship. You know, sometimes there are things in our lives that get in the way of us having those deep, loving relationships. But it's about us being free to enjoy that, enjoy friendship and community. And it's about us knowing a sense of purpose and having that fulfillment as we walk out that purpose. So that's my kind of summary of those things. So the next thing that I want to talk about, so this is, I've got two parts now, which are trying to look practically at this. How do we possess the promised land? Now, there are so many things that people could say about these things, but these are just a few of my own personal thoughts on this. So the first one is know God intimately. Okay, everything comes out of a relationship with God. And so I want to encourage you to make it your main thing to know God. And if you don't know how to know God, ask someone who you think maybe does. Find out. practically, what does that look like in your day-to-day life? You know, how does that work out in reality? Sometimes it can sound like this nebulous thing in the sky, but it's not nebulous, it's real. But asking people, how do you get to know God more? How do you pursue relationship with God? I think that's really key. Here are some ideas about how you can do that. Reading the Bible, you know, that's, sometimes we just have reading the Bible as this heavy burden. Oh, to be a better Christian, I need to read the Bible. Don't read the Bible to be a better Christian. That's rubbish. Read the Bible to get to know God. Honestly, that is honestly the reason why I read the Bible. Because I spent a lot of my, you know, I grew up in a Christian family and I spent a lot of my teenage years thinking, oh, I just need to read more of the Bible, and thinking I was going to get up early and never getting up early. So never reading the Bible and just feeling rubbish. You know, that is all, you know, obviously, you know, if you are disciplined enough to do that and that's your motivation, that good things can come from it. I'm not completely knocking that. But what I'm saying is read the Bible to get to know God. That is the reason why we have the Bible. It's not for any other reason, as far as I can see. Okay, getting around other people who know God. You know, that's why we have community. You know, I enjoy hearing what other people have to say about their relationship with God, about things they're learning about God, about their own struggles and ups and downs. You know, that helps me to know God. You know, if I'm feeling distance from God, I need to get around some other people who know God for them to encourage and inspire me. It's simple things, but this is how we work it out, is in these simple things. Talk to God. You know, there's not much more to say about that. You know, prayer just is talking to God. See God at work in situations. You know, it's really easy. We can view situations in one of two ways. It can be, this is just a set of circumstances, or I'm going to choose to see God at work in this situation. And that in itself is an act of faith, choosing to see God at work in circumstances in your own life. So I encourage you maybe even to just spend some time reflecting on your life so far and choose to see the points that God has stepped in and the things that he's been doing. It'll bring great encouragement to you and it'll help you know God more, because as you reflect on God's dealings with you, it helps you to know how God works in your life. Does that make sense? So I encourage you to do that. Worship, listen to talks, read books. You know, be conscious of him in your imagination, you know, like just imagining Jesus with you as you're going about your day-to-day life. They're just a few ideas. There are many, many more. But I would encourage you, make it your main thing. Get to know God intimately. There's no reason why everybody in this room can't know God intimately. You know, don't write yourself off for whatever reason it might be. You can get to know God intimately. You really can. And if you're stuck, ask people to help you. We don't have to struggle through by ourselves. That's the absolutely key thing. Okay, my next one in how we possess the promised land is take personal responsibility and know that you are a powerful person. I nicked the powerful person thing from Bethel. You know, it's so easy to blame other people or circumstances that have happened in our lives for where we are at. Okay, now, circumstances may have affected us negatively. Other people may have affected us negatively. Maybe we didn't have the best start in life that we thought somebody else had. But whatever it is, whatever has happened, whatever reasons, maybe you made some really bad choices, but you think, I only did that because of this, that and the other, and we're still looking to put the blame on somebody else. No matter what has happened, how difficult it is, how beyond our own control it is, it's up to you how you respond to those circumstances. You know, that's the, if we could all just really grasp hold of what it means to take responsibility for ourselves, things would really shift in our lives. You know, say something really bad has happened to me and it's just ruining my life. It was none of my own wrongdoing. It might be that I'm sick or something like that has happened. Okay, I can feel sorry for myself and blame God even. And I'm not saying don't be real about how you feel. Be real about how you feel, but then move forward. You know, be real. This is where I'm at. But I'm not going to let this push me down. I'm not going to let it stop me from being who I've created to be. You know, I always imagine when I've got different circumstances going on in my life that are getting on top of me, you know, at some point, hopefully, I come to a place where it's like I want to look it in the eye and be like, I'm going to deal with this thing, even though it might be really hard, might be really painful, and it might take time. You know, sometimes things seem to take years to shift in our lives. I'm not saying that they have to, but sometimes they seem to. But if we are determined we're going to take personal responsibility, that we are going to be who we're created to be, and we're not going to blame other people, that we are powerful people who can take authority over our own destinies, you know, we can do that. And I don't want to sound like I'm being incompassionate to really difficult things that happen in our life. Whatever is the most worst, awful thing, this still is true. You know, and you know, sometimes that's hard to accept, but it is true. Okay. My next point under this one is develop accountable, authentic, loving friendships and community. We can't do this by ourselves. We've got to have people who we're going for it with. And I would encourage you, if you don't have those kind of friendships, to really see how you can build friendships of that way. You know, maybe you feel like no one wants to be my friend. You know, if you feel like that, I just want to say that's not true. And because everybody is amazing, you know, sometimes maybe we behave in certain ways that are pushing people away from us. And maybe we need to ask someone to tell us if that's what's happening. We might be pushing people away because we're afraid they'll reject us. And so we kind of get in there first so they don't have a chance to. You know, it might be certain things that we're doing that are unintentionally pushing people away. You know, these are kind of things that can happen in friendships, but everybody has the capacity to have good friendships because everybody is amazing and everyone was born to be in community. So if you feel like you're lacking in friendships and maybe you want some help in that area, I encourage you to speak to people that you can go to and trust, you know, the leadership team, to think, how can I be proactive in building authentic friendships? We can go really deep. People you trust, you can talk about the real stuff and not pretend, but just be real. But know that they're going to be people who encourage you to move forward and not just allow you to stay there where you're at, but people are going to speak in to your life. Okay, the next one, get the word into you. I think this is what Kerry spoke on last week, so I'm sure she's already covered this in great depth. But this is so key. You know, it's not a nebulous thing, airy fairy in the sky. We have the word to ground what it should be going on in our lives. Well, I don't want to say the word should, but you know, a vision for those things and a vision of what things can be. So, you know, this is my approach to getting the word into me. Firstly, read it. Meditate on it. Then identify lies. You know, if I don't really believe that truth, what's that about? What lies am I believing about who I am, who God is, about these situations? You know, work these things out. You know, talk to God about them. Speak to the people that you're accountable to about them. Be real. I put repent. You know, when we're not believing the truth, repent. Choose to believe the truth. It is a choice. I'm sure Kerry talked about this last week. You know, Paul was saying in the worship about declarations, if you don't feel like it, just speak it out. I'm not saying that we want to get into this thing where we just are just pretending. I'm talking about being absolutely real about where we're at, but despite that, choosing to believe the truth. So it's both. It's not ignoring where we're at. It's both. And make yourself accountable. You know, as I'm working through these things, reflecting, working it through with God, you know, I go and talk to my friends about it and tell them, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm working through. If you see me slipping into these ways I've identified that I don't want to be, please pick me up on it. You know, we need to be working out at that level. This is how it works out in the real day-to-day of life. And my final one is expect the work of the Spirit and grace in your heart. You know, this isn't about our own efforts. Obviously, we engage with God, but the Spirit is living inside of us and changing us. You know, there have been times in my life where I've been struggling with something and I keep on like asking God, oh, please just help me deal with this. And I do all the things that I know to do. And there have been some moments when suddenly it's just gone. I'm like, how did that happen? I've been working really hard at it all this time and it didn't go. And then that way of thinking has changed and it's a work of grace in my heart. Miracles of grace. And we can expect miracle of grace all the time as we are looking to God to change us and help us to be who we're created to be. So those are just a few thoughts. Should cover very briefly. I feel bad that I haven't read any Bible verses, but it's all based on the Bible. And as I said, you can look at the notes and you will see them there. Okay, my third part is how do we live in the promised land? Okay, so I've got to this place where I'm like feeling really good with God. You know, I'm choosing to be accountable. I'm taking personal responsibility. I'm believing the word. I'm working it out. You know, I'm not saying that I've arrived, but I'm in a good place working it out. And then sometimes life happens that can steal things from us. So how do we live and stay in that place? Oh, it's gone. Oh, well, sorry. You can't see them coming up. Okay, so I'll just tell you what those things are. So the first one is thankfulness and worship. Okay? Proactively developing a culture of thankfulness and worship will help you stay in the promised land, especially when things go wrong. Kelly dared me to sing to you this morning, but I'm not brave enough. Sorry. No, I should have said that. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I have to get a bit more bold. Colin hasn't passed on that anointing yet to me. So, you know, this past week I had a really bad stomach bug. I'll spare you the gory details, but it was really, really bad. And obviously it's not that great being ill. You can feel slightly depressed, can't you, when you get into that place? And if you're, you know, me, I'm just thinking about all the time that I'm wasting, all the amazing things I could be doing right now. But instead, I'm lying down in and out of the bathroom, feeling very ill. And anyway, does anyone watch iBethel TV? Has anyone seen Joseph Garlington's latest preach there? Oh, you should watch it if you want to feel happy. Because he likes to sing preach. And so he did this whole talk on thankfulness. And it was just so good. And I actually played that talk over and over and over again. Because it was like really feeding my spirit. And just getting me into that place of thankfulness and worship. And even, you know, since being well again. And obviously various ups and downs happen along the way of trying to lead church. And even then, the song that he kept singing. Even this morning, something concerning the journey happened. And just before I came, and I'm like, I'm going to Maidenhead, this has happened, how am I going to sort out that? Then again, I started singing this song to myself that from Joseph Garlington. So thankfulness and worship, that really changes things for our lives and takes us off out of that place. So, you know, Paul and Silas in the jail in Acts, if you read that story, that's a great example of that. Okay, my next one. See how I'm doing for time. Okay, sorry, I'm over time. I'm very quick. Settle that God is good and love. Settle that God is good and love. You know, if I'm always believing that God is outrageously loving me and he's good, then God is on my side. I'm not, me and God are not against each other. We're in it together when difficult things happen and ups and downs. And all that kind of stuff. I can trust God if I know he's love and good. If I'm not sure about it, my trust of him wavers. But once I'm convinced of it, and, you know, I just say, like, I don't say this in an arrogant way, but I have settled it in my heart that God is love and good. And it's that that sustains me through life. Even when life's not working out the way I want it to. You know, the reality is we all face up to that, don't we? But You know, I know that God is standing next to me and he's love and he's good. Okay. Respond to life as a child of a loving, good Heavenly Father and not as an orphan. Okay. You know, if we are responding out of our identity as a child of God, then we're not thinking, oh, it's not fair, or, oh, bad things always happen to me. Oh, you know, all those kind of negative things, which that's a whole talk in itself. But I encourage you to explore what that means. Next one, deal with disappointment and root out cynicism. You know, the reality is disappointment will happen in life. That's just a given, I would say. How are you going to respond to it? Are you going to allow the disappointment to make you become cynical? And then in the place of cynicism, unbelief comes in it and it totally robs us of our relationship with God and our identity, our destiny. We have to deal with disappointment straight away. You know, take our time. If we need to spend the next 6 months or a year dealing with our disappointment, but it means we're going to have an amazing, onward going, fruitful life, then do it. Take it really seriously. Last 2 points under this part, and then I shall end. Persevere with an eternal perspective. Okay? When we're looking to see God doing things in our lives individually or whatever it is that we're going for, we need to have that eternal perspective. Not just looking at the temporal of what's going on. Take a step back. Look at the bigger picture. Look what God has been doing. Look what he is doing. Look how these things are changing eternity. You know, perseverance is one of the most key things we need in the Christian life. Is perseverance, because it's hard. But if we don't give up, obviously we'll have loads of times we feel like giving up. That's okay, as long as we don't give up. Even if you give up for one day or maybe a few weeks, you know, that'll be all right as well. But get back on it again. We have to persevere. And finally, learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord, which is kind of some of these things I've already been talking about. But, you know, David says in the Psalms, you know, why are you so downcast, O my soul? You know, and he tells himself to praise him. He tells himself to remember what the Lord has already done. You know, Bill Johnson has written an amazing book on that. And so I encourage you to read that if you're interested in pursuing that more. Okay, so in conclusion, God has made a way for every single person in this room to enjoy the fullness of an inheritance, which is about being who you're created to be, being free within that, having meaningful relationships and having a purpose where you feel fulfilled in your life. How we outwork that in the day-to-day of life is not a passive thing, it is a proactive thing, and it's worked out in practical ways day by day. It's not worked out in the woo, is my best way of describing it. It's worked out in the nitty gritty of life. And I've shared with you my thoughts on how we can possess the lands and outwork that. And finally, then we want to live there as well. And so I encourage you to think through some of those things that I've shared. Sorry. Okay. Well, should we just pray for a moment and then I'll just hand back to Ian. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you that every single person here in this room is an amazing person who's created by you and has an amazing purpose for their life, Lord. And I just pray that wherever we're at this morning, that Holy Spirit, your truth would just speak into our hearts and set us free to help us to move forward, to walk forward, to feel empowered by your Spirit to work this out in the day-to-day of life. To not be passive, but to know we really are powerful people who we can partner with you to see change in our lives and in the people around us as we step into the fullness of who we are. So yeah, Lord, just do a deep work in our hearts this morning. Cause things to shift, mindsets to shift, lies to be exposed that we may believe and not realize it. Yeah, we just welcome you here this morning. Amen. I just feel like just one way I just want people to respond is if you kind of feel the Spirit is just stirring in your heart that maybe you haven't taken yourself seriously enough. You haven't believed that you really are that powerful person, that you really do have an amazing inheritance in God, a purpose, a destiny, that you really can influence people around you by you becoming who you're meant to be. If you're in that place, I'm just going to ask you to be really brave, if you would like to, and to stand, and you can stand now if the worship team want to come up. And I just want to pray for you. So if you're in that place where you have been feeling insignificant and not taking yourself seriously enough, not believing that you are a powerful person, can influence the world around you, please feel free to stand. Yeah, I just want to give a bit more of a moment if there's anyone else. That actually, there's something that comes when we stand and say that to God, that is just showing our intention towards him. To be like, okay, this ends today. I'm going to step into my inheritance, my destiny.
I also think that it's easy not to be intentional, isn't it? It's easy to let somehow things drift. And I think God is saying to some of us, and I think I would really feel that, Ian, be intentional. Don't expect it to happen. Actually, you've got to make it happen in God. And so if God is just saying to you, I don't want you to drift, I want you to be intentional, I'd encourage you to stand as well. I'm certainly standing as well for that.
Great, let's just pray. Maybe like people around, if you just want to lay hands on those who are standing, if they feel comfortable with that, maybe just ask. Yeah, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for all those that are responding this morning. And I just pray that your spirit would just come and there would be a shift this morning. There would be a shift in the understanding of who you are and of who they are and of how you work and how we respond to the way that you work. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to people's hearts practically, show them how this is going to outwork in the day-to-day of life. And for those who just feel like maybe they've life has happened and they've become maybe a bit complacent, Lord, just I pray that there would just be a fresh grace to just really go after these things, not in a heavy, burdensome way, but in a really freeing way. Amen.